sukkah, so I'll try to talk about a little bit of overview about both of these. The mitzvah issue of sukkah, the mitzvah of lula. So the mitzvah issue of sukkah, because the Tanakh tells us that sukkah is teishu, she was yomim. What exactly does this mean, teishu? So we have a very tradition that teishu is interpreted to mean sukkah is teishu, teishu ke'ing taduru. The Rambam is that Gomit the Perish Mishnayas, when he wants to give an example of how Tosh and the Sound and the Bakar relate to one another. So the Rambam says that we believe in Munah Shleima, that when the Rebbe Shalom gave Moshe Rabbeinu the commission of the Torah, so we explained to him each parish, and he gave him the parish of Shabbos, and told him all the lines as well as he explained, he gave him the parish of Mikvah, and he told him how to build the Mikvah. He gave him the Tosh and the Sound, and he explained to him about Al-Pan, Moshe Rabbeinu was the most of others. The Rabbi wants to just illustrate, just give you an example. He could have picked any one of the 613 mitzvahs. And the Rabbi just wants to give you an example that people can relate to. As how the Messiah went, how the Rabbi explained to him, how much of it related to Israel. So the Rabbi says, L'moshel, the mitzvah of Sukkah. So he said, the Rabbi Shalom wrote him to the Torah, but he told Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The Sukkah stayed through Shiva's Yom, and those are the Shiva's Sukkahs. So Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it down. And now Moshe Rabbeinu gathered Klai Israel together, he opens up the Sukkah door, he says, the Sukkah Tashu Shiva's Yom goes up as a Sukkah. Oh, what does that mean? Wait, I'm not going to. So the Rav Shalom explained to Moshe Rabbeinu, what's a Sukkah? He explained to him how many walls, and the Shir, and the Tvachim, and the Haramis, and all the different things about the Sukkah. And then we got to the word with Sukkah Tashu, so we got to explain to Moshe Rabbeinu what does Tashu mean. So he says, Tashu means Ke'en Taduru. And here are some of the details of Tashu Ke'en Taduru. I respond to these, but there are all the details of the Sukkah that we have. So it's interesting that all the mitzvahs that Rav picked up the Sukkah to illustrate this idea that there's a Tosh Masav, there's a Shiva Pes. So we're just continuing that chain of transmission. Let's get out of order. So comes the commentary and says, the Sukkah is Teshuvu. So Teshuvu is Teshuvu Ke'en Taduru. So what does it mean exactly? What is the halachic significance of that phrase, Teshuvu Ke'en Taduru? So there's a major machlek, it's a tema. Everybody agrees that there's such a cloud. There was a machlekes at the Rav, what are the ramifications, what are the parameters of that statement of Teshuvu Ke'en Taduru, that you sit in the Sukkah, stay with the living house. Rabbi Yezer, in the Daf Chazayim, which is the Sukkah, had a suggestion, which later he may have actually backed out from. Rabbi Yezer's opinion was that Teshuvu Ke'en Taduru means that just as you live in your house, so when a normal person eats a couple of meals a day, how many meals does an average person eat? A normal person eats two meals a day. That's why Shabbos eat a third meal, so Shabbos is different. The concept of eating lunch is an American, Western invention. The old days, that's in his book, Pashakas, Pasarmas. So he comes to the lesson and says, a regular person, a regular day in his house, eats two meals a day. So too, the halacha requires in the sukkah, you have to eat two meals a day. You have to have supper every night in the sukkah, you have to have breakfast every morning in the sukkah. That's the mitzvah derais of yeshiva in the sukkah, the entire week of sukkahs. That's a kiyum, that's the requirement of Teshuvah Ke'en Taduru. So the Rabbanan said, no, the Rabbanan said, we also subscribe. We have a different twist of Teshuvah Ke'en Taduru. Say that for coming. Teshuvah Ke'en Taduru means faker, the opposite. It's not telling you how much you have to eat. It's telling you that you don't have to eat. Teshuvah Ke'en Taduru means that sometimes a person doesn't eat in the house. Every once in a while, a guy runs out, goes somewhere. He doesn't think twice on a regular Tuesday whether he's going to be home for supper. No, you're not always home for supper. You're not always home for breakfast. I had breakfast in the car this morning. I had supper out last night. So yeah, people run and come and go on a regular weekday. So come to Chacham and say, so Teshuvah Ke'en Taduru also. That if a person wants to skip a meal, so you buy achli, buy lo achli. You're not mechuyev to eat in the sukkah. If you choose to eat a meal, then that has to be done in the sukkah. Because otherwise, that's a bit of a teshuv ke'en taduru. But if you choose not to eat a meal b'chlal, so that's okay. That's not a problem. So we pass it like the Chacham, and even Rabbi Elazar in the end of the day may have backed out to the Chacham. So we pass it in the halacha. The Teshuvah you're going to do here is a kula, that what the Gemara says, you boy off, you boy low off. Then the Gemara goes on to ask, if that's true, so then that should be true even the first night of Sukkot. It's also included in the pasuk of Sukkot's Teshuvah Shiva Siyamim. So we should say, also, guys, not only the first night, so he's not going to eat in the Sukkot. So the Gemara says, no, the first night is different. That's a special Xeris HaKot, it's a special Xeris Shava that's derived from Chamish Asa, Chamish Asa, Chagam Asa. It says, Chamish Asa, Mekesav, it says, Chamish Asa, Sukkot. Just as at the mitzvah of achilas matzah, there's no kula. You can't take the approach of Pesach night. Nah, I'm not hungry. I'll eat matzah 3 days from now. But erev pesach matzah, the kasul kol b'chayva. So too, in the first night of sukkahs, of those with a chutzpah, the 3 nights of sukkahs, the yama, the kasul kol b'chayva. The first is b'chuyim, and they're actually said this is sukkah on the first night of sukkahs. So those are basically, I said, it's two parts of the mitzvah of sukkah. The mitzvah of sukkah, the whole week of sukkahs, that's iboy avid, iboy lo avid. If you choose not to eat, so then you don't eat the sukkah. Whereas in the first thing you know of a choice, that discussion says I call some the Chodesh Oz, Chodesh Oz. So when you raise a question about this Xeris HaKosim, this Chodesh HaTorah, and the first half of Sukkah is everything is different. The Chodesh HaTorah, the Sukkah, even though the rest of the week you have really different, we don't want to eat. So what's the nature of this mitzvah? What's the nature of this mitzvah? There's a fundamental chakira as to how to understand the nature of the chiyuv on the first night of Sukkot. This pshat, that this is just part of the mitzvah yeshiva b'sukkah. It means there's two parts. There are two distinct parts of yeshiva b'sukkah. It's basically the same mitzvah. It's one mitzvah called the superstation yeshiva z'yamim. It's part A and it's part B. Sometimes the mitzvah yeshiva b'sukkah presents itself in a sense like a rishos, in a certain sense. And sometimes the superstation yeshiva presents itself as a chobah. And that's this position that the Chachamim developed based on the one hand, the Torah says, Vasukha Teshu came to the room. And on the other hand, there's Xerah Shalach Mishal Shalach Shalach. It's malamed us that there are two aspects of the mitzvah. It's basically the same mitzvah. Bikaron, it's one mitzvah. Yeshiva Sukkah, sometimes it presents one way, sometimes it presents the other way. But it's fundamentally the same mitzvah. Or maybe you could say, no, maybe there's something totally different going on here. Maybe what the Torah is telling me is that there are really two different mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Yeshiva Basukah. The nature of the mitzvah all week long is yeshiva. So yeshiva means derech bira. And whenever you have a mitzvah which is derech bira, then you have a right to say patient gain that we buy off the well off. Because the mitzvah on the first night of Sukkah is not really a yeshiva basukah. The nature of the mitzvah is an achima basukah. Same that the mitzvah of achil is matzah, the mitzvah is achima. So who did not mean the mitzvah of sukkah on the first night is the emphasis is not on yeshiva anymore, the emphasis is on achima. The achila has to be done in the sukkah, you can't eat in the house. But the nature of the mitzvah has changed. The nature of the mitzvah is achilas past the sukkah, not necessarily yeshiva the sukkah. So my nafkamina, how you present, at the end of the day you have to eat anyway. So my nafkamina. So there could be a few nafkaminas ladina. So the Rambam said the sukkah, we alluded to it the other day. The Rambam said the sukkah has a sofek in the second parak, how much a person is mechuyav to eat on the first night of sukkah to fulfill this. The rest of the week of sukkah is really klal. That a person is only mechuyev to do an achilas keva in the sukkah, and achilas aroi is put in the sukkah. Let's say a person stops wants to grab a nash or something, even a nash of bread during the week, so he doesn't have to eat that in the sukkah. That's called an achilas aroi. We'll talk about that a little later, why that's true. But that's a din derayis, achilas keva twice, achilas aroi does it twice. What's the cutoff point? When you say something is called achilas keva, when it's called achilas aroi? The Gemara says it's a little bit more than a kamei, so that's already an achilas keva. Less than that, that's considered to be an achilas aroi. The Rambam has the following shaila. Once you tell me that the definition of yeshiva, yeshiva is always synonymous with an achilas keva, so maybe one could argue in order to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah on the first night of sukkahs, you have to eat yosef mekabetzah. Because if we're defining yeshiva, the rest of the week of sukkahs as yosef mekabetzah, so presumably it's the same definition of yeshiva on the first night of sukkahs as well. So the only way to fulfill the mitzvah of yosef mekabetzah, the three of their acts of sukkah, lel rishon, that can only be done to the eating of the same shear that you would require in order to be, in order the same shear that Allah would require in order to be mechuyav, eat in the sukkah the rest of the week. Then the Ran says, no, can't say not. Then the Ran says, maybe the shear are different. Maybe the rest of the week in sukkah is, so then the shear is kibetzah. They said, oh, the first night of sukkah is, maybe the shear is in kizayin. So the Ran lied by himself, he's not sure. So what's the nature of that suffix of the Ran? What's the Tao to say that it could be a kizayin? So the other says, you're looking around himself, he doesn't say what they're saying. We'll say what the Ran says. So the Chora, based on HaKira, that seems to be much related to the suffix of the Ran. If the nature of the mitzvah is a Shiva on the first night, it's just a little bit different. It's like Shos, it's a Chola, but it's fundamentally the same mitzvah, so the Chora fundamentally should have the same Shir. So the cutoff point should be conveyed to the Oh. Hashanayinke, and behold that the mitzvah has been transformed, it's a different Chalashay mitzvah. It's a mitzvah Zachila, so as we said yesterday, everybody hopefully by now knows Zachila means Kazayas. So that it would be sufficient to fulfill the mitzvah achilah, the same way it's sufficient to fulfill the mitzvah achilah smach for the kizayis, it would be sufficient to fulfill achilah the sukkah that will be shown for the kizayis as well. That's why I would have presented what the latest asafik about the shiur is. So the Ran never doesn't say that. The Ran suggests the difference. The Ran says that why is it that the halacha said that if we have a kibetz of the od, that's not called achilah's kevah? So I had a sandwich. So I had a kizayis. So I had a chalpuk. So comes the Ran and says, no. There's achiva, and there's achiva's keva. Achiva's keva means that there's something significant to it. So just because you did a ma'isi achiva doesn't necessarily mean that you had an achiva's keva. Two different concepts in halacha. So what factor usually transforms something from a stam achiva into an achiva's keva? So usually it's a question of quantity. A little bit more, so that becomes a little bit lower, that becomes an achiva's keva. So says the Ran, sometimes when you're lacking in quantity, you can make up in terms of content. sometimes if you eat something in a specific content, in a specific context, really, so then that could also be labeled as the halacha, in a sense, objectively, not because it's quantitatively weighed more, but just the very context of what you're eating, that group of people can elevate something from an achilas arai to an achilas kamas. So the Ran says, during the week of Sukkot, when nobody told you in the Sukkot anyway, you weren't mechuyav, you could have eaten veggies all week and survived. But you chose to go ahead and eat bread, so it depends. If you eat a little bit of bread, that's an achilah, but not achilas kevah. If you eat a lot of bread, then it's achilas kevah, you mechuyav the rice. When the first night of Sukkot, so I have kosav kevah chayva, when the Torah itself says we have to eat it, so when the Torah says you have to eat something, so when the Torah says to do something, so that in and of itself gives significance to it. That in and of itself, that makes up what's lacking in kviyas, the chira Torah, the mitzvah Torah, gufa, that's kveh in a sense, that no pun intended, that's a kveh chayva, means the Torah is kveh, that's also called an achilas kevah. So even though quantitatively this wouldn't qualify as an achilas kevah under normal circumstances, on the first time of Sukkot, even the smaller round of kezias counts as an achilas kevah. That's the svar of the round. With the rabbi, it's a tribunal, it's a wild svar, that because you're doing it for Torah's mitzvah, so some of that gives chashivas to it. So you had that a little bit of the sugi that we just had in brachas, one of the sugi that we didn't do, about achilas kevah, achilas amroi, the gabi naishas, is aloha that mid araisa, tevel only becomes tevel if it reaches two stages, if it has the marma locha, and it has riyas b'nei bayis. That's what the people, the previous years, in the old days, they used to bring the tevua in, dafka derech ha-pesach, so it should become a chuy, which was in Isis. In the later years, they decided to go down the chimney, because they'd rather not become tevel, so they would try to avoid riyas b'nei bayis. So the locha is, when something is only tevel with the rabbanon, so you're not allowed to just stop eating so fast. With the rice, it's not a mutter. It's almost not the food with the rice in terms of measures. So with the rice, you can eat it legami, no matter how much. But with the rabban, the chum said it depends. Even though it's not quite double the rice, so you still shouldn't eat it in a certain way. You will give you a break. You can eat achilas haroi, but you can't eat achilas keva. It means just to take a nash, to grab a grape or something on the run, so that would be okay. Again, it's not double the rice. It's double the rice, and that's also a grunash. So only double the rabbanon, so then they gave you a break. It's rias to kodim, rias p'nabayas. So we'll let you grab a little bit of achilas haroi, but not achilas kevah. So what is achilas haroi? What's achilas kevah? So again, you have a lot of it, that's kevah. You have a little bit, that's haroi. So comes the Gemara, the end of the Pesachim, and says, let's say a person's having a nash on, he has some food out of the field or something, he's a cash for Shabbos. He goes out in the field, it's kodim rias p'nabayas, and he wants to have a little Shabbos snack, a little Shabbos party out there in the field. So the Gemara said, that's a problem. Shabbos kavas l'maisa. That any achilah that you do on Shabbos, so that by definition is considered to be achilas kevah. Why is that? Because the kolos of Shabbos owner could be doing his mitzvah now. Now it's a kosher thing. It's an important thing that you're doing. So even though quantitatively this is only an achilas arai and midrabanan, it should have been mutter even with achilah to eat it out in the fields. But midrabanan made it clear that since achilas kevah is also the halacha, this is also considered to be like a shtickel achilas kevah. So that idea that midrabanan in the realm of tevel, which is ma'aseh, so the chacham are willing to be ma'aseh something which would otherwise be achilas arai, they're willing to transform it to be achilas kevah, that's only in a sugi midrabanan. But that has smacks a little bit of a deraisa. According to the Ran, that would not be a deraisa if they issue with a sugi. According to the Ran, deraisa could be yotze, but the kizayis the first time, maybe, he's not sure, the deraisa could be yotze the first time of the kizayis, even though it's not really an achilas kevah. Because the kosav kevah chayvah, but the Torah makes it into an achilas kevah. According to what we're suggesting, you don't even need that run. But we're suggesting maybe kezias is good enough because the very nature of the mitzvah is not yeshiva, the nature of the mitzvah is only achilas very close. And many of the differences whether the nature of the mitzvah is achilas, the nature of the mitzvah is yeshiva. So there's a big machlokes that we shall have taste in the ash, but everybody gets into about your own bisham, and the bishop says himself, and then the brain in sukkahs, so we know that you don't have to eat in the sukkah. Not only do you not have to eat in the sukkah, there's no need to eat in the sukkah. It's foolish in the sukkah. Bisham says, anyone who eats in the sukkah, there is a nicker head here. It's going to be a fool. It's not much, no, there's a chum, there's a hidden, it's not much nothing. So a person eats in the sukkah when it's raining, he's potter from yeshiva in the sukkah. Why is a person potter from yeshiva in the sukkah when it rains? So this is a big machlokes, I post him, what the nature of the ptor is. So the simple pshat in the Gemara is, so that's mitzvah. The same way the Gemara says, the other mitzvah are potter in a sukkah. Let's say a person is sitting in the sukkah and if they have a skunk just spraying out of the sukkah, it smells like frelick outside. But you're supposed to get inside. Even inside, you spritz some air freshener or something. You can survive inside. Outside is gefrelick. So the din is, the Gemara says, you have a bad smell. You know, it's in the sukkah. It's not potter in a sukkah. Well, let's say there are a lot of bugs in the sukkah. Let's say those of you in California may know sometimes you get too hot in the sukkah. Florida, Israeli, but yet comes to Rakim, so a person is mitzvah in the sukkah, so he's potter from Yeshiva the sukkah. So Pasha's advarim is gonna rain, you also mitzvah, sitting here with a sukkah on your head, some mitzvah, that's also called mitzvah, that's the simple shot. So the Gemara doesn't say that, the Gemara of the sukkah writes, that the reason why a person is potter from the sukkah when it rains is more than mitzvah. Mitzvah is also true, but it's less than mitzvah. The Gemara says, ein shem sukkah alo. That's not called a sukkah. What does it mean it's not called a sukkah? So the word sukkah means to protect. It means the sukkah is supposed to protect you from the elements, but also the moon elements being the sky, things that are coming down from the top. So the sukkah can't do the job. The sukkah can't serve as a protection. It's raining right through the sukkah. So that's a sukkah that's not intended to be a sukkah. Well, then the shah becomes, if that's true, that it's not intended to be a sukkah, so then when it stops raining, the sukkah becomes gush. It's tasa longer also. The halacha is you're not allowed to be nana mi'atzei ha'sukkah. Because this is their eyes, the halacha is out of the sukkah that has to derive benefit from atzei ha'sukkah. Let's say in the middle of sukkah is the guy wants to take off a piece of bamboo off the sukkah and use it for firewood. So that's also in their eyes. So la'ashem, k'shem ch'chal shem sh'mayim ha'chadiga, kach chal shem sh'mayim ha'sukkah. So how could you ever eat in the sukkah? You're being nana from the sukkah, the sukkah is keeping you warm, it's keeping you keeping the light out. So the answer is after the Torah says to do. The issur of being nanim in a sukkah, obviously shalom b'derech mitzvah. So the person being nanim by doing the mitzvah, that's exactly what Torah wants him to do. So then again, the Torah of the Torah wants to know, how is it mutarid in the sukkah in the rain? Let's say, you're not b'chuyv to, but let's say the guy doesn't leave. Let's say, you have all the time, you're finishing your b'chuyv, it's not the rain. It's easier just to quickly finish having a last piece of cake and bench and run out. So some of those people find themselves sitting in their sukkah a little bit in the rain. So we ask the other guy, no, it should be awesome if they're actually doing that. The second substitution should run out, because the schach is keeping some of the rain out, so you're being nanned out a little bit from the schach. So gebalt, but you're not being nanned to the mitzvah because you're mitzvah. So it's not a nanned, and a super shlovim of a mitzvah. That should be an issue of your eyes. That's the other young person, that's his cash. So there's a lot of answers to that cash. So one of the answers to that cash may be based on the grub. According to the grub, when the sukkah, when it's raining, it's mishkin sukkah. He's just being nanned and out to a sukkah. So if it's not a sukkah anymore, it's a mitzvah. There's no answer to be nanned. If the sukkah falls down, there's an issue of their abundance to use the wood still. That is the yisad deraisa. And then the yisad sukkah was only instituted when the sukkah was functioning as a sukkah. So you have a functioning sukkah, you go and take bamboo off and use it for fire, but that's what the Torah asked. But if the sukkah falls down, so you shun right under the rice, it's put about no. So but with your abundance also, the chiyah gamma, then it's still basically standing up, so the sun will go all down. That's what one puts it is.
If it's not called a sukkah, this is going to put it from sukkah, because you don't have a sukkah.
Right.
So
okay.
Why should you have to, like, where your neighbor's house?
No, you're not going to your neighbor, because you mean, someone's training in the neighborhood. It's not raining right here. It's a big time. It's not raining. So, you're not good. You're more right. That's also called mitzvah. Let's say there are two kinds of mitzvahs. There's some other mitzvahs that are the same. Sometimes you have a mitzvah in the shas on the mitzvah. Like, let's say you're sitting outside and mamash can smell. It's not just shreds. It smells terrible. I'm going to say, no, I'm going to be machmir and sit in the sukkah even though I'm mitzvah. So that's nothing. That's not if a person, if it's going to smell it's the same inside also, it's going to be the same inside, inside as outside, so then there's all right, that's not called inside. But if you're going to save the time inside, then you go inside. Then. But, and there's no need to be machna whatsoever. Of course, you don't make some bracha, but it's not your bracha at all. But let's say I have a different kind of situation. There are more rights. Let's say my light went out of this. My candles went out. I don't have my candles. You don't have Shabbos, whatever. I don't have my candles. It's dark. It's hot. I can't see. So there are more rights than not my friends. So I shlub up all my stuff and walk across the street, carry my food and not my food. I go into my house and finish. Let's say the guy said, no, I don't do that. I want to be mach. I want to go into my friend's sukkah. So the guy schlaps his material from the drill. By the time he finally gets it, he's having it now. So when his friend lets him, so he's not, now he's not mitzvah anymore. He was mitzvah to get there, but he's not mitzvah b'shas mitzvah. So the chayav the rights. So that person does fulfill the mitzvah. He can bring bracha. He's supposed to do all those mitzvahs, but once he does them, then he's considered to be a mitzvah. So it's over here, I'm not going to go to my friend, and my friend's not ready, I'm not going to go to my friend.
So if it starts to drizzle a little bit at the beginning of the meal, it should not be the rough while they should soak up?
Right. It depends how the drizzling is. Drizzling, if the Mishnah says that the shear is, Mishnah, the whole shear, that the amount of rain that would come into is something in your food. So it's very hard to be Mishnah, that's in the Mordechai writes, that you should try to make the following cheshbon. Let's say you were sitting in your dining room, reading dinner in the dining room, and all of a sudden it started to leak a little bit. The roof starts to leak, the ceiling starts to leak. So sometimes you would just say, this is ridiculous, I can't eat that. It's pay the next time, let's pick up and go to another room or something. So if you would make that calculation, then you're talking to somebody. I know this happens Saturday, you know, it's not so bad, it's only every 5 minutes of the drop. Like it. So you make that kind of pressure, maybe you should have the So yeah, so two different reasons why rain is not the why it's not the symbol is not because of the fire, but because ancient Sukkot. So cover group of Rishonim would say that on the first night of Sukkot, so you have a chuyuv doing the sukkah even in the rain. Mamashir, it's raining, it's pouring, mamashir, it doesn't matter. You have a chuyuv doing the sukkah in the rain. What's the shot? Happened to me. So those Rishonim are clearly holding this out. They don't still hold the sukkah. Shame sukkah, they don't want to cover up. And number two, they hold that there's no p'tur of mitzdar in the first night. Why is there no p'tur of mitzdar in the first night? Because the p'tur of mitzdar stems from yeshiva, as what Tosfos writes. How do Chazal know that it's not from the sukkah? The Gemara explains what's the mocha of chumash for the klal that's not from the sukkah. Doesn't suggest the same the mocha is taken from the duru. Same way people living from four houses that uncomfortable house, so I'll move out of the house. I'm not going to stay in my uncomfortable house for long. So it comes, tells, and says that's the normal way of living. Is you comfortable? So if you're not comfortable, that's not called living. Not called living. That's not called the patient. So comes to Rishon and say that's true. The rest of the week is sukkahs, and the nature of it is yeshiva. So the first night with the nature of the mitzvah has changed, it's transformed to a mitzvah achila. So for a mitzvah achila, so it's called achila. Let's say Lamosh, I'm sitting in my house face at night and my ceiling is dripping. So I don't think that's a mitzvah achila. I am puffed. I go to another room or eat with the rain on your head. Doesn't make a difference. In terms of mitzvah achila. Rain is only a potter, it's only a potter from mitzvah yeshiva because it exerts a consultation from the duru. Those who show them who say that you know, the clear thing the first time sukkah is even in pouring rain, so they're assuming two things. They're assuming against the gra, and they're also assuming that the nature of the mitzvah of the first time is not the difference to this chila, not this yeshiva. And other Rishonim say no, other Rishonim say potter from the first night also. For different reasons. Some would say it's not the gra, because it's not shame sukkah. And others would say because you have a tour of the mitzvah. The first night is fundamentally the same also as the Yeshiva. So there are three different permutations. Our meaning is we assume it's a Sfeigah Dina. So the Rama writes that what we should do is if it's raining on the first night, Hashem is raining on the first night of Sukkot, so you should go into the Sukkah, you should make Kiddush in the Sukkah, and have some Chal in the Sukkah without a Bracha. Because if you're Chayav, so they're good, if you're not Chayav, so I don't know, we'll make a Bracha with a Dollar. And then you can have the rest of the meal back in the house. Because there's no chiyuv to eat more than the first kizayis, first kibetz, whatever it is. You can have the rest of the meal, that's it, fine, then you finish the rest of the meal. If it stops raining later, then you should go back to the sukkah, nochamol, and then you can have a meal in the sukkah. If it doesn't stop raining, then it's not going to go back for you. Either you're outside, you weren't yotze, that's it. So, but if it stops raining later, then possibly you should go back to the sukkah. Then you should go close to Shiloh, what if you went to sleep already? It's 3 o'clock in the morning, you wake up, and now you realize it stops raining. So the Shabur, tap is makel, says, here's a cheshbet for makel. And know it's an achmer. It's not almost a shachar. You should have to go back to the sukkah, make the bracha, and show the yotzei mitzvah. Kedasa v'dim l'chol ha'leis. So we're not machir this exact. We need a little bit as a sfeigah v'dina. What the nature of the first night is? What the nature of shem sukkah? So,
yeah. When you start the meal
inside
the sukkah, and then you start raining and go inside for a bigger shmos.
Says, Ochlin in the sukkah, Shosin in the sukkah, Shain in the sukkah, eat and drink, sleep in the sukkah. Those are the three activities that basically are singled out for being in the sukkah. What does it mean you have to eat in the sukkah? So the Mishnah draws a distinction. We said before, between Achilles Sarai and Achilles Keva. Achilles Keva is Achilles Keva, if you don't want to eat Achilles Keva, that's okay. But if you choose to eat Achilles Keva, it must be done in the sukkah, and that's Sarai. If not, it's a bit more mitzvah. But Achilles Sarai is not the Achilles sukkah. Say this, eat it in the sukkah. If one can, once you try and eat everything in the sukkah, try and drink everything in the sukkah, one eat it, if it's an achilah saroi, then it's part of the sukkah. How do you define achilah saroi? There are two factors that go into it. One is quantity, and one is type of food. So we said before, the quantity is more than the kibbutz, is really achilah keva. It's less than that, it's more than achilah saroi. Within different types of food, so the Gemara also says that not all foods qualifies as chilas kevah. So let's say if you have bread, so bread is potentially chilas kevah, depending on how much quantity you eat. Then the Gemara says there's another kind of food called minei tagima. So minei tagima also can potentially be chayav and sukkah. What exactly are minei tagima? They are a type of food that can potentially be transformed into chilas kevah. What are they exactly? So there are three sheetahs in the Rishonim. So Rashi seems to say minei chilas kevah is considered to be peros. Rashi Shita is that you have a lot of payros, you don't know how much it is yet, and if you have a significant amount of payros, then you will be tied to the sukkah. And so the parrot writes that true payros does not mean minei tagima. Minei tagima means foods that you usually eat in the context of a meal. The lapis is a pas, let's say, like cheese or fish or meat, chicken, big eggs, things like that. You can dump them in a sandwich chowder. So if you eat a lot of those, that's considered minei tagima, you'll be tied to the sukkah. The Rosh is the biggest maker of the Rosh is neither Rashi nor the parrot. The Rosh Hashanah means food which are mazonos, cereals, and pastas, and things which are not technically bread, but they're close enough to the bread world, they're mini mazonos, so those who constitute, those who qualify as tagima, and potentially desire. So three different opinions. How do we pass in on the So the ikimiko that we pass in like the Rosh, the most cool thing of version, that only mini mazonos are even potentially driving so good. And some, the Chayot, the others write that maybe Shem Chazit is a bit of the Rosh, is a bit chumah in the Rosh Hashanah, but maybe a bit of Barrett, but the Rosh is being carried in, that anything that's resolved is going to potentially become Chayav and Sukkah. So what does that mean, potentially become Chayav? So this is Rabbi Machoik, it's not the Roman others. And the Roman says that maybe people are not much like bread. So if you eat the same quantity that's called Achilles Kevah for bread, so if you eat that, the equivalent to Shia of Minei Tagima, you would be Chayav to eat in the Sukkah. It's according to the number of brothers. You sit down and have a nice kishmak bowl of cereal or something. So that's the zono. So it's very tricky. It's probably more than a kibetza. So you're in the chui of midarais. It's in the sukkah. And other rechurim say it's not. Other rechurim say that whereas bread is a very objective shear, more than a kibetza, that's what the food is kibetza. Other kinds of foods, you need a little bit more to transform it, elevate it to the point of kibetza. How do you do that? Either mamish bin kibetza, you don't it. And say, this is mamish your breakfast, this is my big bowl, this is it, this is my breakfast tonight. So that's called the kviyas hada. Or, let's say you have a lot of people get together. We all get together at 10 o'clock. At 2 o'clock we have to go together for a breakfast party. So for a civic party. So even though it's not really my meal, we don't have lunch or anything, we don't need something for 3 hours. We're getting together, I'm telling all the boys to come over, and we're going to have a Cheerios together. So that would also be considered to be a shabbat step. But, say, I'm running. Let's say a person just stops in the middle of the day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he ate lunch, he needs something, he still wants a snack, so he takes a bowl of cereal, he needs some pasta. So come a group of you and say, even though you may have eaten more than a kibetza, that does not qualify as a chilas kevah. Bread doesn't qualify. You just have a snack on a roll, more than a kibetza, that's what we're going to stand up. There's other kinds of foods that we have, just a mere kibetza vote, maybe that doesn't qualify. That's what's the same with Nina. So how are we supposed to be knowing this? Machrem, Shal Der Aisa. The only problem is, can you make a bracha? What's the shalom making a bracha? So there's a big machlokes in the Talmud and the Rambam. When do you make a bracha on eating in the sukkah? So the Rambam says, the bracha of Leishim has nothing to do with eating. The Rambam says, anytime you fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, when you go into sukkah, you go to eat, you go to sleep, you go to learn, then you go into sukkah, you make a bracha, Leishim is sukkah. Rabbi Natan says, no, Rabbi Natan says, the home only the sake, Leishim is sukkah. When you do achila, only an achila, achayeves, the sukkah, nikredin, requires the bracha. So normally, if a person goes into the sukkah, the person has a sukkah, so you have to kiddush, you have a sukkah, you're about to eat a whole meal, Shabbos lunch, Yomtif lunch, so you eat a regular dinner at night, so you start to eat a chayev and sukkah, nikredin, so you make a leishu of the sukkah. Once that guy just pops in, it's the middle of the afternoon, he wants a bowl of pasta or something, and he goes in and eats one bowl of pasta, that would be more than a kibetza. So according to the mother of Ram, one should make a bracha on that, because the according to other Achronim, we say you're not mechuyim in sukkah. So then it'll just depend on the mother of it'll depend on the mother of Ram and the other Achronim. So it'll depend on the Rambam. According to the Rambam, you have no problem taking a bracha. You can make a bracha, you just walk in and sit and learn for 5 minutes. You can also make a bracha. But according to the Ben Adam, it says that the bracha was instituted only b'shas chiyav achiyav b'sukkah. So it's not really the chuyah, so that's a suffix of brachas, once you're not making a bracha there. So we should try to use something, try to as much as you can. So you have a suffix. More, no. Kaveh Siddhar, I'm not sure to tell you. We should try as best we can. We should try to use something. it's already possible to kiss them. It's already, it's a bracha to prophecy. We'll talk about that later on during the year. So again, the two fundamental brachot, the one is about tam and rabba, and the bracha is reserved only for achila type of things. And number two, what type of an achila actually warrants a real achila. Then the Gemara said you have to be asleep in the sukkah, you have to be shayna in the sukkah. The Gemara says that shayna in the sukkah is more common than achila in the sukkah, because achila in the sukkah is a difference between achila and kabbalah and sarah. And shayna is no difference. It's the kabbalah, it's the right, it's also the same thing. We all know you close your eyes for 5 minutes, that also keeps you going. That also gives you a little chios. So even a shayna sarua is higher than sukkah and tara. So the Rambam writes that there's a strange custom that a lot of people have not to sleep in the sukkah. So the Rambam says, Mamish Kulei Kulei, Zerab Mishnah, Zerab Mishnah, Zerab Mishnah, Zerab Mishnah, of course you have to sleep in the sukkah. So what's going on? Why are many people not so careful about it? So the Rambam suggests two reasons. One of the halakha the Rambam says is that a person is married, so Tashu King Bedula means the same way he lives with his wife the whole year. So he has to live with his wife during the sukkah also. So his wife is not completely honest to go to sukkah. She wants to go camping, that's fine. She wants to go and join the sukkah matzah. So you can't force her, she's not completely honest to go to the sukkah. So she says, listen, good cake is a day, do whatever you want. Go sleep in the sukkah, I'm sleeping in the house, it's warm in the house. So the husband's allowed to turn around and say, no, you're not coming, you're not going either, because we're in this together, so what are you Tashu King to do? My base of Ishto, our sukkah, so Ishto, Ishto. That's what Rambam says. That's where the practice comes from. So why don't we encourage the women a little bit more to go to the sukkah to be mizach the husbands? So you have more rights, because sometimes that's what's in the works. In the old days, everyone had their own private pillow sukkahs in their backyard. A lot of times, people didn't have room in Eastern Europe to build sukkahs. They used to make community sukkahs. I mean, people in apartment buildings built. So comes to Rambam and says, sanuah, because they come and sleep with husbands and wives. It's ridiculous. So the Rambam says, it's not shy for the women to come. It's not shy for the women in the middle of it. I don't have to come either. That's the Rambam's chiddush. So the Gros says he thinks that it's not true. The Gros says it's a Gemara and a different context. The Kedushin Lamedal, the Gemara different. There's no Gemara anywhere in Shas. It uses that phrase in this context to pop you from Sukkah. Anything, the Gemara uses it the other way. The Gemara is a Havan, you have women of Chayavas and Sukkah, even though it's not in Gemara. The Gemara says, what's the Svara? Ma Beiso Ishvishto, Afsukas Ishvishto, women should be Chayavas. The Mashmal and Pasa that she's Dura. So the Gemara has the Drasha in the other direction, and the Gemara rejects it anyway. So the Gemara is a Shtak, a Tainan, the Rabbi says, I'm not sure what the more of this Rambam is. So, is there any other reason to exempt the person from the sukkah? We don't accept this Rambam. We do accept the Rambam. We don't want to go that route to Rambam. So the Rambam writes here again, another reason. It's cold outside, the Rambam says. Cold outside, so it's time in a sukkah. I have cold and eat also. Yeah, and it is, you eat 10 minutes and you put in the food. Don't sit here in the, you're breaking a little bit when it's cold at night. It's not like 4 nights, it's cold. The Rambam writes, it's cold, it's time. So that may be true, but that's going to depend on the context. You can't quote that Ramah out of context. What if I'm going to live in Eastern Europe, so we'll crack out. You know the big cracker?
Yeah.
It's called the cracker.
Yeah.
What do we do? By July, it's by cold.
It's
April. April's freezing, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, my grandmother didn't come around. She came from Poland, another city in Poland, but she told me that it won't snow on surface. Not out of the ordinary. And when I was a kid, 1 year without a snow on surface. It was a very late surface. So it was the end of October. It was top of snow, and so very well, wet snow, but it was not a snow. So we were like, wow, one time in my life, that's a snow. My grandmother was sitting there, and not, snow and surface, so asthma. She said, we don't see a snow and surface. So, there Hashukah talks about it. Hashukah lived in an environment, up in Litva. So Hashukah has a whole discussion about it. Way down by the snow, by the ice, and what happens. And that was normal in Eastern Europe. Okay, so it's like 30 below, so then it's not going to stop up in the sukkah. So each person depends, and when they're on it's hard to give a call on this. Some people tolerate cold better than others. There's a difference. There have been nights of sukkahs where it's been more comfortable outside than inside the house. You get a night where it's 85 degrees in Yom Kippur, so it could be 85 degrees in sukkahs. You have a nice 70 degree balmy night, so that's very hard to say. So under all circumstances, a person should not invoke any technical grammar other nights. It gets cold, so that's in California, it's very hard to quote start on the sukkah, the minute itself. It's very hard to say that. So each person has to size up each year. Each night is different, depends on the situation. Bumps. Okay, so same thing in their bumps. Realistic, yeah, it's a realistic time. It's a realistic time. person has to make sure that the soup is safe. The soup is not safe, so she's sick there. Now she's not sick there, the whole life is not safe to sit there, and the child really can't meet there. The law says that a lot of people say, oh, the soup is dangerous, I'm not going to sleep there. So the law says, okay, you can't eat there either because I'm on the bias. The bias has to be royal, but I mean, you're ashamed of. So that's the whole child's lecture. Is that a royal right? She says, oh my God, I have a sleeping house. I'm not eating house. I'm not eating house because I don't want eating in the front yard, and the sleeping house is inside. So that's a Shiloh whether that law is correct. Shiloh is more explicit on a lot of people don't think it's something that's cold. So why do you say, well, not royally? Sleeping, so it's not even yet eating. So the Mishnah says, no, that's different. He says, what did the Rambam say that if you have a sukkah, it's not really to sleep in, it's dangerous, you're not even yet eating? That's when the guy in the Mitchila went ahead and built the sukkah in a dangerous place. He could have built it in his back, could have built it in the front. So he built it in the front, and he turns out and says, sorry, it's too dangerous to sleep there. Mishnah, what you built today, you should have built it in the back. So when you have an option to build it in a normal place, and you choose to build it in a dangerous place, that shows that it's not your bias. It shows you're just putting on a sham. So the Rambam says, not a bias. It's not a deer. It's even that deer. If a guy lives in a cold place, a guy lives in the North Pole, so his house can be cold. So what are you going to do? So those activities that he can do, he does. Those activities he can't do. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if you live in a cold place, it's about a new chum. Everyone's bechuf to move to Florida for the sukkahs. Awesome. That's where everyone loves it. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, no, you're not going to leave your house. You built your sukkah, you do the best as you can. And then you have to figure out a night. It's too cold, it's too cold, finished. That's what the Pesukim say. That's the first time you've seen a dangerous neighborhood. So when you tell the guy, I live in a dangerous neighborhood, so the Taka Shiris is so dangerous. So you go, oh, you can't eat the sukkah either. What do you want? This is all I can do. The Rambam only said that if you have an option to go to a safe, comfortable sukkah for all Tzarchi Hadira, you're not allowed to cheat yourself or just building a half-baked house. That's what you have. So you have to do what you got to do. So if you have a nice brain, so you build your sukkah, it's right after you found a chile. It's not really a shame. It's not really a shame. I think there's one area that, in terms of shame, that a lot of people are not aware of, which I think is a very big mishal in the realm of sleeping in the sukkah. So you can argue at night very often. It is cold, and people get sick, and we're used to sleeping in heated houses. So, anyone that's best people cannot come from sleeping in the night, I hear where they're coming from. Anyone wants to remind me, Amos Kula, married men, not feeling the whole stuff. They have one, they're all set. They have 3 days, they're married. Mishnah did Masechus Yuma. Hell, you can't go, they can't get married the last minute. You have to get together and get married. But those who want to avail themselves, either one of the Kula's in Amos, the Kula is relevant to themselves. I think it's a very big problem that a lot of people are not fit for that. And even it's funny, even people who sleep in the sukkah at night are not careful about it. They take naps in the sukkah during the day, and they take naps outside the sukkah during the day. People take the Shabbos nap, the yomtov nap, the afternoon nap, the nap, they go lay down the house. But then they have to do that. The Rambam has a big clock for that. They said, that's neither have to do them all twice. The first step of the mother, Mat Dira Ishto. There's a marriage. I can speak on myself. Every once in a while, I do would take an afternoon nap. My wife is not necessarily there. Some people have seen me before. I don't consider that. That's not called the Madirish Vishnella, guys. So I take a nap once in a while. So to say that an afternoon nap, I'm popular and sick because my wife's not here, so that's ridiculous. I won't miss the rest of the night. That's number one. And number two, the second half of the number that's cold. And the moment is, it's 40 degrees in the daytime. Most of the time, it's a day like today outside. It's very, very outside. So you need to have to work. So that's why people mix with their eyesight. So I've seen a lot of people, they're very mocked, but at night they'll sleep in the summer. They tell them they can have a house. It's not much for now, frankly. Some years I do sleep in the summer, some years I don't. Depending on the weather, usually. Depending on how I feel, depending on the weather, whether it's good style, not good style. But in the daytime, it's not much for their own. It's not much raining. Unless your kids are playing in the sukkah. That's the only possible out there. On sukkah hopping. When you have sukkah hopping, so when the grown-ups want to sleep in the house, that's okay. Because if I would sleep in my regular room, I would never sleep in my regular room. If I knew my kids were going to bounce in every 5 minutes, I wouldn't sleep in my room. So I to sleep downstairs in the basement. So if I know that 50 kids are going to come and jump and sing, I'm going to have to sit in the basement. I'm going to stay there. So I'm going to sit in the house. I'm going to do that. That's okay. But short of that, you have to sit in the sofa.
Also, there's like a lot of
people
outside.
Yeah, no, 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 no. Right, right. Let's say it's after lunch. And so your parents had a lot of company, and you finish lunch, you want to take a nap, and everyone's yapping in the sofa. So it's very uncomfortable to go take out a nap or some pass yourself there. I want to go sit in the other side. That would be more cool.
Same little song that naps, that's on the sofa. It's light outside. It's probably easier to sleep.
You got careful sitting in the light. You should know, I leave the lights on in my sukkah. I leave the light. Last year, I left the lights on Lagamri. I didn't even put my shots in there. And I sleep with the lights on, very simple. I have no problem with other children sleeping with the light, and it keeps other kinds of things away. Other rodents and other things that we spoke about. Not that they get into the sofa, but they generally don't like lit up areas.
Bugs do, though.
What?
Bugs
but some bugs do. I'm more concerned about the bigger things. So raccoons, you know, those kinds of woodchucks, groundhogs, those. Usually, when you move the lights on, I think they can keep them on. So that's my personal idea, but everyone should do whatever. Is it there? Is it there? Rabbi Yosef talks about kind of a single guy, and his mother tells him she doesn't want to sit in the center. Normally, parent tells you not to do it. So not supposed to listen to them. Roger writes a svar. This is different because here this child's going to feel so upset that his mother told him not to. Why did his mother say he's so distressed? Because I'm sure everybody knows their parents ever they can't sleep at night and the distress is so badly. That's what that's you have a clue to do that. Yeah. When I was a bacher, I grew up in Riverdale, so my parents lived in an apartment building. So we used to have a communal sukkah down in the parking lot. That's what we do. So we had a body. Of course, we had a body. Let's do the next one. The highway. So we used to have for many, many, many years, we had a communal sukkah. So, my son used to sleep there. So it was not down the parking lot. And, it wasn't, I guess it was dangerous, but, sometimes parents have all those bad things, rightfully so. So I arranged to make the love feel a little better. So I put in a lock. We used to have a combination lock from the outside, but it stops people out. But at night, it's when I'm going to sleep, so I put another lock inside. I'm able to lock myself into the sofa. So no one can get me. Of course, I didn't get the shoppers either. But my father wanted to come back and sleep to wake me up. But that was so that way, at least she felt a little bit more comfortable about that. So for years before I gave me that brilliant idea, so for a couple of years, I used to sleep with everyone except me. So it's a little bit more secluded. It's in the back, so I used to sleep in the back of the sofa. And then one year, closed down the store for the river, one of us fellows we talked about, Rabbi Fisher from the Dallas. So one year, he built a sukkah, and he was in the apartment building, he was on the top floor, so he had an open area, and he built a beautiful sukkah, and then he had to go away if he wanted to. So there was a bunch of sukkahs sitting there, so me would fall, and motion, out, and what we were real proud of is, so I had different kufas over my years as a bacher, different sukkahs that I was sleeping in. Let me tell you the story. All the years of my parents all went along, all the Mishigas, every year, with the lots when you were younger, really when you were old. They used to spazier the streets and the mattresses and blankets, and they were always very, always went along with it. So last year, I came to Rabbi Willard's house, I was trying to visit Rabbi. Don't take that as any invitation to say, but I want to come along with always that. But I was trying to visit him for a month, so I went there last year, this past year for a month, so kissed a bunch of the guys were floating around. So they were seeing me Rabbanan, mi abdu chabena masecha pitachtu le masecha. So, I walked him around, we looked at He says, you should always remember that he got in the schus of his parents, and he after chaben masech, and then he went on to say, many of you don't know, but for 20 years, Rav Solovtsky used to walk the streets in Riverdale, finding a sukkah. They always had it as my crib every year to find another place to sleep, and his parents went along, and his other parents used to sometimes try to get sprays up, and they went along, and they helped me out, and so it was in that schus that, I don't know if that's schus or what, So here the Gemara says also there are two parts of the mitzvah, two parts of the rice. The mitzvah of kichas lulav, of course, they have sukkahs. Then there's the mitzvah of the rice, of taking the lulav, the smart and the fresh and the kechus yamim. The duration of sukkahs is the mitzvah of the rice and the cake, the lulav. It's only the fresh and the cake. It's only the mitzvah. The two mitzvah, I mean, you count, it's one mitzvah of the rabbah, but there are two different chiyuvim. There's a chiyuv of the kichas lulav, the rishon, the taruah, which is the dina. And so Mikdash, the Tesha became the entire week. And the Mishnah says, so the Mishachar, they said, Mikdash, he's going to be a Chum and Zakai, you should take the rule of the entire week as a Zechar. For us, we'll have to basically, so this is as follows, we'll have two mitzvahs, we'll have for the mitzvah be a right, so of the first rule of the autonomy of Mishon, and the rest of the week, so that's the mitzvah that Rabban, that's the Chanas, will be a Chum and Zakai. We have the first mitzvah be a right, the Shabbos, this year, we're going to get a lot of sort of that in good shape, because it's going to be the best Shabbos to be a right, so this year. Are there any differences between these two mitzvahs? Well, you have to take a lulav first, you have to take a lulav the rest of the day. So very practical differences. So there's a big, big machlokes in Rishonim. Who's with us in the lulav gazel? A couple of summers ago, what was that? Two summers ago, what was that? Something like that? Oh, you wanted to do something. Where is Toby? Toby left us. Even Toby. I had a guy once in the Shimon to say Shimon BMP a while ago. Said, what, after about 3 years at his Talmud, this guy was unbelievable, he never missed a day. He never missed a day. And he was on a tzalot, he was never on call in the mornings, never was. So one day, he didn't show up for shul. So we're all kidding about it, 3 years, he never missing a day. He's kidding, who knows, engaged, got this, I don't know what happened. So he said, he's not going to ever on call. He said, it happened, pulled the son of a child, heart attack, he said, he got it, back up, whatever it was. His mom was giving CPR and he came time for Shira. So I said, okay, so that's an excuse. That's about, that was his only excuse in 3 years that he tried to be Mechaim Mason. That was the only excuse in 3 years that he was in Shira. So there's a big Mechaim Mason in the beginning of Lulav HaGozel. Are there any, all the differences, one of the possible parameters differences. So we'll boil down to basic steering Gemara's there. In one place, the Gemara seems to say that the standards are pretty much the same. The Gemara says, the Marshal Justin has been a hadar by a lulav. When you take a lulav, so it has to be, all the minim have to be a hadar. So, Tanya says, let's try to do a lulav gozo. The lulav by the other is possible, but it's not called a hadar. I could say hadar by lulav, it's a hadar by answering. And you compare all the minim to one another. So, the sheet is that there's a din derais hadar, and that's why lulav by yavish is possible. So the Gemara seems to say in the beginning of Lulav HaGozel that if you have Lulav HaYavish, it's possible for the entire week of Sukkot. That seems to indicate that whatever the standards for the first day are, carry over for the rest of the week of Sukkot as well. Then there's Gemara later on in Lulav HaGozel that says that Rabbi Chanina is going to buy that with Esra. And then he has to buy that with Esra, so he would shake a little bit of Esra with a rock and do the mitzvah. So the Gemara have no problems with that. You know, since I think a chosir is possible in Mishnah. So we must know that's only the first day of the birthday, or the first 2 days of the Torah, so that's only has to be a chosir, and it's okay. The Gemara says, the only problem Gemara has is how does he lie before davening? How does he lie before shaving? That was all discussion with Gemara. But in terms of the asking itself, we have no problems, then it has to be a chosir. So all the Mishnah of God is Gashem. The psul of the first day carried over, they're not carried over. So one Gemara says the psul of Hada does, another Gemara says the psul of Chosir doesn't. So there are two basic halachos of the Rishonim, which are very, very important to the Medina for us. So Tosfos says the answer depends on the psul. Some psulim do and some psulim don't. And Tosfos tries to show you why Hada is a more common than the psul. So it's like the name, it's a rock, and it's trying to explain why that's the breakdown. Anything which is a psul of Hada is not a problem for the whole week of Sukkot, even for us. And anything which is a psul of Chosir, so it's only the first day, not subsequent days. And the Rambam and the Ramban have a different shot. The Rambam and the Ramban say that the Gemaras are talking about two different mitzvahs. The Gemara at the beginning of the Gemara is talking about Ulu B'Mikdash all week. So when it comes to Ulu B'Mikdash, so whenever the standards are up for the day, those are the standards for all week. The Gemara later on is talking about Ulu B'Gvulin, talking about posts that come to Yilchim and Zakai. It's Emma Roy speaking. Beginning of the Gemara is the same time the Mishnah. Then Ulu B'Gvulin, there are three of them that go to so if you live after the Chorban, there's nobody said Mikdash, it's only Midrabanan. So Midrabanan, everything's kosher after the first day. Chos, Hoda, that doesn't matter, everything's okay. Boils down to the nature of the Rambam, the Rosh, the Rambam, the Ramban. Bottom line, it's not a double chomize, the third day chalamay, I have some kind of a problem, I need dollar medium, is that going to be okay or not? If it's a chaser problem, for sure it's going to be okay, because that really is in the fish, it's okay. But if it's a other problem, so according to those, that's not a problem for us, even for us, they need to learn the Rabbanon. It's a problem with the Rabbanon. Whereas according to the Rambam, according to the Rambam, the Ramban, it's not going to be a problem. According to the Rambam, the Ramban, it doesn't matter what the problem is, the chaser problem, what the problem is, as long as it's there, as long as you have full medium, it doesn't matter if they're a disaster, they're falling apart, it doesn't matter if it's still basically kosher, eat after the first day, because that mitzvah is a little bit, that's a machlokes, the mechav and the ramah, that's a major, major machlokes, the dina. What do? You have all these kinds of problems that crop up on a valid medium during the course of the week, so how seriously do you have to take them? What it does is, you have to be a real lamed, and what it does is, you have to know valid medium well, you have to know what's called the hotter, what's called the chaser, and there are certain psulim that are unclear, there are certain psulim that are machlokes. Is it Rishonim? Is it if the Eshek falls off? Is that called the Hadr? Is that called the Chaser of Hadr? Is that called the Chaser of Chaser? So it's not always so clear what the nature of the Chaser is. According to those, you really know Dalamin well to know what's Kosher after the first day, what's not. According to Ram and the Ramban, there is Kosher after the first day because the only Pesul that you might have after the first day is only this Banam being Kosher. So we Ashkenazim try to follow the Ramah. That's why we try to, the Ramah is Pasuk Zechosis, so we try to keep our little Pesul off the par. As best as we can, the whole week of Sukkot. The only thing that will be about that are the things which are chaser. The chaser problem requires you to learn within well. Whatever is the chaser problem, the shape problem. Whatever is the other problem, is going to be problematic once you try to keep it moving us in the best the top shape as possible for the whole week.
Just to learn that we get care of after all.
That's all the meaning. All the meaning. Right. So you have Yodesh, you have Yodesh, the Haggis, the Rabbis. It's a good idea. You have Rabbis, you have the Rabbis, you have the Shash, you have the Yodesh. You have these kinds of shadows that come up. When the person finds themselves in Eretz Israel, so they may find themselves in these mitzvahs in their eyes about them. The Rambam has a chiddush in Perashat Mishnayos that mikdash, when the Mishnah says you take the lulav of the mikdash, chashuvim in their eyes, the Rambam says mikdash doesn't just mean the adjacent mikdash itself, it means all of Yerushalayim, all the old city, all the halachic Yerushalayim. So according to the Rambam, we have an interesting idea that whatever your standards for Dalam Midim on the first day in their eyes, if you live in Tel Aviv, if you happen to go visit Yerushalayim, you go to the coastal on the third day of the life, so you have to have a real super duper kosher dalam meeting. Al chumra, al hidur, it's got to be no kosher, no hodl, no nothing. It's according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of the Araisa, the Nathilas movement is no haggis, because Mana said, if you believe there's a mikdash meaning, it all of Yerushalayim. According to Rashi, the Sukkah, this is mikdash, and this is Peshutta, and Mashmah, it's only the base of mikdash. Hopefully, you're not going to the Harais, that's it. We assume that's what we go to the Harais. So according to Rashi, you're going to have a mitzvah of the Nathilas the Araisa, as Mana said. According to the Rambam, it could be we have such a mitzvah. So you have to be extra specially careful. Make sure you don't mean it off the far. The Binyan Sion has a big chiddush. According to the Rambam, let's say Shaila. Let's say a guy davened Shacharis in Gula, which is not halachic in Yerushalayim. And then stops Muslim in Gula, so Chol HaMoed, he comes up and they have to daven for Melech Kaisel. So the Sion says he has to take the Nasir again. With their eyes, according to the Rambam, because it wasn't Yetzi yet. And the Tfilas Lulav that he did in the morning, that was the Tfilas Lulav after comes from Yechem and Zachai, because he wasn't Mechuyev yet Midaraisa. Once he comes, the Fnei Hashem, comes to Fnei Hashem Lepechem, then he becomes Mechuyev Midaraisa, and he has to shake all over again. For the bracha, he can't make a bracha, it's only the same thing, because maybe Rashi holds him not Mechuyev, but at least as a Safi Midaraisa, one would have to be Mechuyev. Okay, we can't do justice that much for all Dal Minim. It's hard to do that in 10 minutes. Maybe another time, maybe just a couple of words of the Divya Sairus before we get that.